for example, in this initial response here at 73 milliseconds, you should see activation near the kind of the between the hemispheres. And then when you scroll forward in time, you can see that the activation spreads to left and right. So there will be like two blue and red spots next to each other, and so should the source activity. It should then activate both hemispheres more to the sides.
Is there a certain time window? So it's just like instantaneous.
Yeah, it's taking the
time
where the cursor is. So do you have any questions about the source solution or how it matches with the topography?
There's barely anything. Like, I don't know if you should see more.
Yes, that depends probably on your settings.
Yes.
So unfortunately I can't show it now on the screen, but
yeah.
If you right click on your source where you have the brain, you get options, and there's the that one. So, one for color map sources, and there is then you can adjust the scale. So you can adjust it to be global, local, or custom. So now it's global, which means that it's taking the highest peak, and everything is in reference to that. So if you take the local, then the scale is being changed when you go back and forth in time. Or if you want even more activity visible, then you can go to the custom and put there some very small values. Also, there is one thing that you might want to do that gets the sources better visible, because now you have the kind of original brain there, and it has all the sulci, and it's difficult to see inside the sulci, like, okay, is there any activity? You can only see the tops of the gyri. So you can then basically kind of blow some air into the brain so you can inflate it. If you go to the surface tab here on your GUI.
In the surface?
Yes, the surface tab here. Then you have these surface options, and you can increase the smoothing. So if you put it, for example, to 50%, then you can see that you can see better inside the sulci, or even to 100%, then it's the whole brain is being smoothed altogether. Right, so hopefully that worked. And there is also one more option that affects what you can see, which is then this data option and the amplitude. So for you, I think the default value is here, and it says 50%. So it's only showing those amplitudes that exceed 50% of the scale that is shown on the map. So basically when you slide this to be larger or smaller, then you see more or less of the activation.
It turns blue if you put zero.
Yes, basically, because it's showing like all activity, no matter how small it is.
Looks like
Alright, but now you have your source solutions, but this is just that you should be aware of this, that when you collect your data, you should kind of beforehand plan your experiment that, okay, I want to look at the sources later on, because the source solutions are somewhat susceptible to signal-to-noise ratio. So I have the here three solutions. In the top one, I have kind of lots of trials, so I have very clean data here. So 59 stimulus presentations altogether have been averaged, and you can see that yes, there's quite nice activation here at the occipital areas. But if I only have five or even only three stimulus presentations, the source solution starts to become a little bit more unreliable. So you can see that here there starts to be some activity here at the top of the head and along the temporal lobe, and then in this rather extreme case here, if you only have three stimulus repetitions, you don't anymore know where is the focal point of the activation. So it could be just as well here at the parietal area or at the occipital area. So in this case, you can't really trust your source solution anymore. Okay. And then you can, of course, try the different algorithms that are available. So this is just showing the solution using the minimum norm estimate here that we just did. But then there was, for example, this S-Loretta, which comes from this standardized low-resolution electromagnetic tomography. And you can see that the solutions are pretty similar. There are some differences here and there, but pretty much you get the same solution. This is of course a good thing, so it would be rather scary if, depending on what method you use, you get totally different results. And usually it's a good idea, if at all possible, then for example to check your results using these dipole localizations. So for example but using the discrete method, and then maybe one or two of these distributed methods, and then you can see that they should converge rather nicely. Okay, then we have so far only looked at the location, but the actual strength of the MEG and EEG method is in the temporal resolution. So we want of course then to see the time course of this source activity, because that's what we should be interested in when we are using EEG or MEG. So in Brainstorm it's possible then to get the source activity from these predefined cortical pulsations. There are several different options for that. So here I have, for example, plotted activity coming from the lateral occipital area, and then the transverse gyrus, or the Heschel's gyrus. And then you can see in time when is the activity peaking, and whether, for example, the left and right hemisphere show differences. And this is just to show that, okay, if we have visual stimulation, then we see hardly nothing, then, for example, coming from the auditory cortices. So let's try that next. Okay, this becomes increasingly difficult without plotting the pictures, but so if you have your source solution open, so the picture of the brain and then the sources there, and you go to this scout tab here. So from here you can choose different pulsations of the cortical surface. So basically, in a brainstorm, they are calling these kind of regions of interest or brain areas, they're calling them skulls. And from this drop-down menu, you can get then several different options visible. And we can start, for example, from the Desikin-Kiliani parcellation, which is a very standard one. And when you choose it, you should then get this kind of a color-coded map appearing on the cortical surface on your source solution. So, did it work? Okay. And then you have most likely now all of the areas selected. So, but if you don't, then just click on one and press Control A so that you have all of them selected. Because the default mode, how it's showing is probably it says mean after each of them, but from the sculpt menu here, you can then choose, can't remember by heart, set function, and you can change it to power.
Which one?
Set function and power, because then you get everything as like positive values.
Cool.
Like the induced activity, remember?
Huh?
Like the induced activity as we calculated it.
Yeah, but I draw nothing in the set function.
Meaning? But did you select all the scouts? Yeah, you have to like press Control A so that it selects everything and then you can here. So now it changed.
Why has the areas color that mine is like that?
You have the Broadman parcellation. Yes. So now you have to again just change the power. And once you've done this, you can then select basically those brain areas of interest that you would like to examine so that you get the activity visible like this. So for example, from if you scroll, there's one more thing. So you can switch off the sculpts from the side. Don't have it there, but this is really difficult to explain, but on the GUI on the right hand side, it says all or SEL, all or selected, so press on the selected. And now if you then click on any of the cortical areas on the menu that you have here, so you have here the different cortical areas, and if you have selected this SEL here, and then you click on one of the cortical areas here, then you only get this one highlighted in the brain image. And then if you press Control, you can choose multiple regions of interest, just those that you want to select, actually. So for example, if you choose left and right lateral occipital regions, and then you right click on the source solution, you then have an option to plot these sculpts time series. And when you choose this sculpts time series, then it should draw you this kind of an image where you can then follow the source strength from this time series plot. And this is then representing the power across all of the vertices in your brain area of interest. So basically, it's taking the power across all of the vertices that occur or are inside this fasciolated area. And now, then if you again scroll back and forth over these different peaks here, you should see that it corresponds to the strength that you see here in the anatomical image. But when you have a big peak here, you should then get more activation here. So is everything working smoothly with this? Anyone need any help? Okay. So then there's one more thing that you can do, but this is mostly if you have like two conditions, then you can just plot them over each other here in the time course, and then you can compare them and for example say that okay, in the right hemisphere this average X condition seems to have much larger source strength in the lateral occipital cortex compared to this average basis. But because you don't have another condition there, so then you can also plot different scouts or the activation from different cortical areas on top of each other. So you can choose here overlay either scouts or conditions. And if you choose scouts, then you can, for example, plot the lateral occipital area or, for example, the, let's say, cuneus, which is also a visual area on top of each other, and see, for example, is there any difference between activation in these two cortical areas. So do you have any questions about this? So everything is clear, and you know how to interpret the results. Okay, so then there is the second data set. So this time it's not just visual, but it's an audio-visual imaging experiment. And again, it's data only from one participant. And it has been pre-processed, so you don't need to do anything to it other than just go through these source vocalization steps. And the experiment looks like this. So you have a fixation cross, which is in your baseline, so that a zero point in the data is here when the participant sees a symbol on the screen, and then 600 milliseconds later he or she will then hear a sound, and then there's a response required after that and so on. But the segment that you have there is basically this 1000 milliseconds when the visual symbol appears and then the auditory stimulus is present in it. Right. So you should find it from the same folder where the average X was. And you can just basically repeat the steps. So
will we have those slides? Or
yes, you can have them. You mean now or later?
No, at some point in the future.
Yes.
I can put them in code by if you just send them in. Or do you have the rights to?
I don't know.
Okay, just send me the the PowerPoint file so that I can put it in code.
Yeah. Okay, so then you can just add the new subject. So by right-clicking from the protocol, and then you can import the MEG file. And once that is done, then you just follow these same steps that we did before. So you choose the anatomy. And again, you need to use the template anatomy because there is no individual MRI available.
Should we load it in the same subject or use a different one?
A different subject, yes.
Can we delete the previous one?
If you want, yes. Okay, and once you have selected the anatomy, then you align the anatomy with the head points, create the head model, and calculate the sources, and then you are ready to explore the data.